Thursday night, January 16th.
So do we have somebody else on the phone?
Yep, Tim's on the phone.
Okay.
We're waiting on Karen. I'm not sure if she's coming, but we've got a forum, so we're good to go.
Okay. So I'll call our meeting of the Administrative Control Board to order here tonight. We've got Tim, I guess, just as far as who else is here, Bob and myself, and you're on the line, so that's our quorum. Okay, so looks like the second item is executive session. Do we need to go into that?
The only thing for executive, potentially, Tim, did you have any update that you need to talk to the board regarding my review process?
Yeah, Ian and I have been working on a project with the review, and we've got a print done by the
You're kind of breaking up a little bit, but it sounds like you have a process and you'll have it by the end of January.
Okay, so no further discussion on that, so we don't need to go into executive session on tonight.
Okay, so item three, the consent agenda, approval of the December 16th minutes. Do we have any comments there? Doesn't sound like it. The check register, were there any questions there? Yeah, I saw a couple of those.
That's what happens in December.
That was all planned for.
Yes, all in the budget. Nothing that we weren't aware of.
Okay. Do we have a PO?
No PO.
Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, that was Bob and Tim. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that was unanimous. Okay, item four, department updates. Bob, would you like to go through that? Did you have any questions there?
I have one question. Can I defer and see if I can find it?
Yeah. Tim, did you have any questions on the department updates?
I'm in trouble with it.
That's a little better.
On the with the skater, it looks like we're writing some big checks for that. Is that something that at some point is going to taper down a little bit, or is this an ongoing cost?
So Tim's got a question with regards to SCADA and whether or not the checks we're writing will taper down or if it's an ongoing cost.
I think it's the upgrade. Yeah, the SKM.
That was a treatment plant upgrade through SKM. And it was something that we had planned for, the PLCs being obsolete and programmed and so forth.
Okay.
So it's not ongoing, it's sort of a one-time deal.
I mean, it's the first major PLC update to the plant since it became operational. So.
Okay.
Just as a heads up, we will be doing the same thing down at Lost Canyon as well this year. It's in the budget and we're planning on it, doing it sometime late winter, early spring.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so yeah, I went through those, everything looked pretty good. I had one question, Brian, on the leaks for 2019. We had 25 mainline. Mm-hmm. How does that compare to previous years?
It's more.
Yeah.
It's definitely an increase over the previous year.
And for some of the folks that I've talked to, it seems like, I don't know if it was due to the big winter we had last year, but it seemed like all the water companies were having a lot of leaks this spring.
It was kind of weird. It was an anomaly for the basin.
Yeah.
We'd have a leak, and you'd talk to Park City or Gogo, then Summit, they'd be having leaks too, so.
more than usual.
But some of those leaks were multiple leaks on sectional pipe that we're going to plan on replacing this summer. So.
Okay. All right, are there any other questions on the department updates? Okay. Item 5, financial management. Lisa Hoffman.
We don't have, I gave some preliminary numbers for December in department update. Steve and I are still working on getting that final and closed for year end. So I just really have a timeline of the next 6 months that we can walk through.
Hey, we can just give Karen a minute to get settled.
Oh, I'm good.
Okay, and just kind of catch up here. We did the consent agenda. We didn't need to go into executive session. Did you have any department update questions?
I did not.
Okay.
Oh, actually, no, I do. What are the ongoing issues with the billing system? Do we know? That was in Marty's report.
Is that just when we do the monthly billing, some of the ones that have to be consolidated, like Aspen Brook or some of the new ones in Community Water, when you run it through, it's supposed to do all the math for you. It'll do it, and then if you make any changes, it erases, and you have to go put those numbers in again and then recalculate. So I think she's talking about that. There's a couple of glitches, but they're mainly involved with where we have to, one meter have to split it amongst many customers. So we've just kind of created a mechanism to check that every month to make sure those all, by the time we're all done, everybody has a bill.
But we don't have any underbilling issues, right?
No, I'm pretty sure that's probably what she was talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been working with Cassell on a program to fix, to get an actual fix for it, because this is, I mean, it's not a complicated thing that we're asking for the system to do, but it, for whatever reason, they can't seem to get it right. So that's why she's referring to it as ongoing, because it's, since we started taking over Community Water, we've had this master meter and split thing happening.
Yeah.
And that's been an issue since that point.
Okay.
I did have a question from, not related to specific report, but where are we with the state engineer on the of the water?
All of that was approved. It was 800 and... In round numbers, I believe 840 acre feet was reassigned to Silver Creek, to points of diversions in Silver Creek. That was all done third quarter-ish last year.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Okay, so then back to the financial management.
Just walking through the timeline, our meeting tonight, on February 6th, Summit County is holding the annual board training at 6 p.m. We, as part of our, it's an annual requirement for training for our board to either attend this one in person or to go on the website and review after it's been posted. So that's just an annual training you'll need to do. We have our next board meeting. We have it scheduled for February 13th. We'll talk a little bit later about maybe potentially changing these dates. In the March meeting, we'll have our annual elections, and we'll also have Dave's presentation on special service district board training. April, we don't have anything specifically designated for this other than our normal business. May, we will have the audit presentation, and in June, we plan to have the water rate study presentation for you. So that's just kind of a little overview of where we'll be over the next 6 months.
Financial management. Okay, that was the timeline. Were you going to do where you go through the numbers usually?
Steve and I are still working on closing December.
Okay.
Because we're at year end, so it takes a little bit longer to get that done and ready for the audit. So I listed the November key metrics of the departments. It's kind of what we've been talking about. Our revenue numbers came in really, really close to budget. Expenses, we're still trying to make our final adjustments on that. But I'll have an update in February of kind of our preliminary year-end close.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question? Is that board training in Colville or is that
in Richens?
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. So we're ready to go on to six.
It did last year.
With the master agreement discussion. Do you lead that?
Yeah, I'm going to lead that. Do we want to, do you want to break for 5 minutes and get some food and we can talk about the naming convention? We'll kick it off with that and we'll go from there.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to take five, Tim.
I've got the recorder back turned on, calling it back to order after a short dinner break. So moving into agenda item six, our master agreement discussion. We have a few topics. First is change in nomenclature. Bob had, kind of brought the concern up a couple months ago about calling this water surplus water. That name comes from the master agreement's name in the contract, but I think we all agree that Bob's got a good point. So we as a staff have been kind of throwing some ideas around. I just wanted to present some of those ideas to the group and see if we could arrive on a name this evening. One term was regional supply. A variant to that was regional contract supply. Master agreement supply, just simply contract water.
I like regional, I think that works.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want the word contract in there or not? You want just simply regional supply when we talk to this?
Regional
if we're on the radio or regional water supply?
Yeah, I think that helps the audience. I don't think they care about a contract.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Regional water supply, any concerns?
So be it.
All right, regional water supply. Moving on, item B.
Because if you get into any documents in regional water supply, don't define it as surplus water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, really, it's just something that's we just wanted something intuitive for the audience, and I think
that's a public relations.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Agenda item 6B, Master Agreement Exhibit D. So when we refer to Exhibit D, this is another one of these terms that comes out of the Master Agreement. Really what Exhibit D is the 5-year projection information that leads to a contractual obligation with Weber Basin. I put together a memo in the packet, and I'll step through that quickly now. What we're focused on tonight is what water in 2024 we, the district, want to obligate ourselves to supply through the master agreement. I've broken the data up into two tables. The table on the first page is a summary table that shows the rose and green, which is water that was obligated, that we have previously obligated ourselves to. The line in yellow, 2024, is the focus point for this evening. And then the lines 2025 and beyond are projections that are just for informational purposes for this evening. When we think about our water projections as a district, we have to think about it in two ways. The first way is with respect to our source capacity to meet our peak day in the summer. And then secondly is our available water rights to meet demand over the course of the year. As you can see in the table on the first page, the peak summer delivery rate starting in 2022, we have pinned to 500 gallons a minute. That number is important because it's the that is at least 500 gallons a minute is our obligation with respect to the settlement agreement. The settlement agreement runs through 2025. So the settlement agreement says at least 400 acre feet, or it's 400 acre feet with a peak flow of 500 gallons a minute, and that runs through 2025. So with respect to the discussion tonight, you can see I've just held that that minimum delivery of 500 gallons a minute through 2024. So really, the focus for this evening just lands on how much water do we want to promise to deliver over the course of the year in acre feet. So if you get
the important part about that 500 gallons a minute is that it still leaves us some safety factor.
It does.
Right, that's what we're, but we like that it works.
It does, and I'm not interested in increasing that peak summer rate because it just puts stress on our system.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. We still have our...
How did we get to 950 if our rate... If contractually we're only required to be at 500?
That's a good question. Because the memorandum of agreements that were kind of set up with Summit Water in years past, they landed on a defined peaking factor for those years, and that peaking factor led to those numbers in 950.
Could we conceivably have a different delivery flow for the regional water?
Say that again.
Could we conceivably have a different delivery flow for the regional water that we supply?
So something less than?
Right. I mean, can we split it? So we give them 400 acre feet, we guarantee them 500. For the additional acre feet that we give, can we say, well, we'll give it to you, but we'll only guarantee 250 gallons?
Well, essentially, that's what we've done, is all water above the 400 acre feet is not delivered in the summer.
Okay. You really don't care, then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good questions.
So with respect to this evening, let's move to table two, on the table on the second page. And what this is just purely focused on water rights. And we're looking at water right projections as we look out into the future. The top half of the table are our water right demands. The lower half of the table is the water rights we have available. So starting at the top, let's just focus on 2018 to begin with. 2018 was our largest water right usage year. So we used just over 3,000 acre feet in 2018. Next, what you see is we're laying on our additional obligations, right? We've got community water. The expected growth category, what this encompasses all the growth that we have visibility to today, which includes an annual growth within existing neighborhoods. It includes the new annexations that we've been talking about over the past year or so anyway, Lincoln Station and the Ascent Hotel, the Earl Street annexations, all the annexations that we've talked about and approved as of recent. And then it also includes the large projects that we're aware of, which is Silver Creek Village. And there's a new project that's being discussed across from Home Depot, which I've sort of titled the Henry Sigg Project. He's the developer. Based on Summit County's understanding, this is going to be about 1,200 units across from Home Depot that would fall into our district. So that expected growth includes those units as well. The next line you can see is just our... Yep?
That timeline that you talked to Pat Putt didn't look like that was in the next 5 years, though, did it?
They're expecting at most about 120 units in year five. So I've added, there's 60 units in 2024 and 60 units in 2025 in these projections.
Yeah. When you say units, you mean like ERCs?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've put them at. What's the latest, Dave?
I would, Henry Sigg and the county are engaged in a master plan process for at least administratively right now, because the county bought the land next door, the 460 acres of Florence Gilmore. 120 acres of that is developable and sits right next to Henry Civ. So it is, it looks like it's going to be jointly master planned together, and many of the residential units are going to be deed restricted affordable housing units the county's going to own. If it comes together, same time the county council wants to form a housing authority this year. So if this all comes together, you may have a lot more growth before the 5 years.
Okay.
Because the county will then issue a bond to build the infrastructure, and the housing authority will issue a bond to build the affordable housing units. And the housing authority would basically, the housing authority isn't going to have to use HUD financing and things. So, but in order to make it probably worthwhile, they're going to build most of those units under that housing authority bond.
Okay.
So it would be a high density.
Yeah.
Then Scott, also we talked at one, I think about 2 months ago, about Browns Canyon. Is that something that just kind of went away, or the assumption that we may take them home provided that they brought the water with them?
That's effectively gone away at the moment. That's not included in this. My understanding was the county wasn't real keen on that development, you know, the development in that area.
And what about development at the base of the canyon?
So all the development at the base of the canyons, I'm assuming, is going to be served by Summit Water. And that water, you know, it's that water will be served through the master agreement from Park City.
So Park City has it.
That's my understanding.
Okay, I think that's expected growth.
Yeah, so that covers the expected growth. It sounds like we'll discuss in a minute how we want to address the potential for the
Park City project. Park City sell that water to them at $8.80 or something like that.
That's the 2020 rate.
Okay.
So as we get, so essentially I'm just summing the demands. What's important about that sum demand is you'll notice Summit Water is not included in that sum. That's because it's included in the 2018 number of 3,040 acre feet. So as we ran the math across, we accounted for that. The available water is at the bottom half of the table. The available wet water rights is just quite simply the difference, or it's just the total available wet water that we have. We have more than 4,200 acre feet of water rights, but there's a lot of water rights in East Canyon that we don't have any source that can produce it. So we're purely looking at the water that we can deliver. The net balance is just the math. It's just the difference between the wet water rights and the sum demand. The total balance is taking that net balance and adding Summit Water's water in, so we can get a sense of, if we're not delivering water to Summit Water, what does that number look like? As part of the master agreement, we have 1,000 acre feet of reservation rights with Weber Basin. And the gross balance then is the total of all of our wet water rights, the water that's going to Summit Water, and the 1,000 acre feet that's reserved through Weber Basin. As we work our way to the right, you can see we're just aggregating the growth, adjusting the Summit Water numbers based on our obligations and projections. And what's relevant to discuss is that we as a staff have talked about how many water rights do we want to have in our back pocket as a safety factor. That number that we've landed on is 500 acre feet, which based on our latest impact fee study is 1,000 single family homes. Standard ERCs. So the concept there is that we don't expect 1,000 units to appear out of thin air over the next 5 years. And so really that becomes the driver then of what's available to deliver in 2024 to Summit Water. If we fix that net balance line in 2024 to about 500, then it leads to a delivery to Summit Water of 650 acre feet in 2024. The last point that I wanted to make before we can talk about how to deal with potentially faster growth is, you can see that the delivery to Summit Water by 2027 effectively goes away. So either 2026 or 2027, based on these projections, will be the last year that we provide water to Summit Water following this methodology. Are there any initial comments?
And that's because it just drops below that threshold that we're not willing to sell them anymore, or?
Yeah, so if we try to keep that, you know, this operational surplus, this light green row, if we try to keep that recovering at 500 acre feet, the growth is essentially, they are using that water that we were previously supplying to Summit Water.
Our regional supply decreases?
Decreases, correct. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Dave, that doesn't take into account the sourcing in a way, right? In terms of, suppose we have a really bad year, your 500 feet is kind of your buffer stock, too, if you want to think of it that way, right?
They absolutely are tied together, right? You know, aquifer sustainability is a bit of an unknown, quite frankly. We have put together historical records on drawdown, and we're working on that activity now. The data that I have to view, I don't see any, you know, there's no big red flags. Ian's taken a quick look at that data as well. We talked about it today. There's no glaring issues. There's some water quality metrics that crept up last year, but I can't tell if those are anomalies or not. We're gonna get some additional data this year. But, you know, based on the information that we have today, you know, this is our recommendation.
Right. But there's also all these risks out
there. There is, absolutely.
Fires or droughts or whatever. And so all I'm getting at is we shouldn't necessarily assign 100% of our water to various uses, you know, unless we're sure that our sources are really...
Well, that goes back to our water projections table we showed you guys last year.
Where
we came up with that 700
from a capacity standpoint.
Yeah, on the capacity side, not the source side, but
right.
You know, but actual production, we're looking at the.
I mean, this is saying that if we want to put 1,000 feet on the table for some water, we'd have to go get water rights.
We could use the 500, so really when you talk about not assigning all of it, there's 500 acre feet that's not assigned.
Yeah.
You know, that's the water that's not assigned.
Yeah.
If we're not comfortable with that, then that, you know, then we increase that number, decreases the delivery of some water. Again, at the staff level, based on the information we have today, I think that's a reasonable surplus, but
Or you could say, well, let's sell it all out and deal with our problems when they arise.
Well, I guess the Lisa, how do you feel about the 500 buffer? Like, do we need that revenue once we get out of the 24,
25, 26? I mean, we haven't done projections past, you know, the next 5 years is really where we're projecting right now. We haven't anticipated anything beyond 24, 25. We did our, you know, rate setting for the 10 years, just knowing that we kind of said the settlement water was the end of when we'd be providing something. You know, we've talked about this before, about how much of a buffer we wanted versus that, you know, what we were comfortable giving some of water. You know, when we're at this 1,100 acre foot rate where we are right now, I think we're really close to that buffer. But as far as revenue goes for the next 5 years, as long as we're out in 2025, we're okay.
Okay.
Because, I mean, essentially, too, I guess another said another way, we're going to be turning that revenue that we're now selling at $5 to $20.
Right.
Hopefully.
So assuming the growth.
We're going to double.
Yeah.
And that's why, I guess, if growth slows, if we can put more back on the table for 2025 or something like that, if we felt like we needed to, we haven't committed that number.
Correct. That's correct.
When does Park City come online?
2020, this year, 50 acre feet. 50 in 2020 and 2021, 450 in 2022, 2023. Really, it's the difference. So 1,150 acre feet is the demand Summit Water is currently showing for the five-year projection done last year. So the difference between these numbers and 1,150 are what they're gonna do. So 50 acre feet in 2020 and 2021, 450 in 2022 and 2023. And it would be 500, I guess, in 2024 if we stuck with this number of 650.
And they're going to process all that water.
That's kind of the question is, will they be able to fill this gap?
Yeah.
Timing-wise, as far as getting their stuff constructed.
Yep, the 2022 is when their treatment plant is scheduled to be completed, and that's where they step up from 50 to 450.
Yeah, I saw that just start tearing down.
That would be.
And they're on schedule right now, apparently.
So I'm not sure.
You'd like to see this number go down, Bob? Is that?
No. I'm not sure I get what Summit Water's up to. You know, I mean, it seems like they're agitating us. They ought to be negotiating a longer term deal with us at $6, you know, like we proposed to them, instead of putting themselves out there where they're going to have to survive on Park City Municipal, which has already shown propensity to say $8.80 or whatever it was, and more, right? Once they got them, what's the key position? Bam, every year, 25% increase.
Right, okay, so do you want to wrap it?
So I think the last point maybe that, Dave, do you have any, you know, you say Henry Sage project may come out faster. Are there any numbers floating around? I reached out to Pat for an update. I didn't hear anything. I mean, has anybody talked about quantities and when?
They have not talked about specific densities, but it's going to be fairly dense. It's going to be a mix of commercial with residential. And the idea is that there'll be sufficient commercial so that residents living in Silver Creek Village do not have to jump on US 40 and go into Park City. That is just right there. So the idea is it's going to alleviate some of the traffic. But
so it's going to be another redstone kind of thing?
Yeah, although it's probably going to be...
I take a grocery store over there, though.
That's what they're planning to do.
Yeah, there's going to be a big grocery store as an anchor. I think, though, that you're going to have a lot more residential density than you may have at Redstone. And they're talking about... senior care facility too.
Great business.
Yeah, and so there are a lot of things that are kind of going in that area. And one of the things that's potentially going to go in that area is a lot for Mountain Regional Water that you guys could then move to and build. So all those kinds of things are percolating and going through a master plan process, and at the end of that, it will culminate in some kind of an application for development, and it will go through the Planning Commission and then the County Council. But it's going to be dense. It's going to be a dense project.
Yeah. But there's no additional information with respect to timing, as far as when units would be built.
A lot will depend upon how fast the master planning gets done and how fast it gets before the county council. It's election year,
yeah.
So you never can tell. But I mean, I would think that as soon as that project, whatever it turns out to be, is approved, you're probably going to see something on the ground in the next 2 to 3 years.
Right, because as soon as it gets funded, they got to start paying it back.
Yeah, well, as soon as it gets approved, what'll happen if it stays as a joint project? The county will put in a community development area and will enact a bond that, you know, tax increment financing bond. And once that goes in and the infrastructure goes in, yeah, they're going to be building because they got to pay back the bond. And the housing authority would probably be doing their bond at the same time the tax increment financing comes in. So you would see both of those going up together. That's why I say, once it gets approved, you're probably 2 to 3 years, you're going to see some significant development. The commercial may be phased. I don't know how much phasing the residential is going to be, especially if most of it is housing authority stuff.
Okay. So probably the fastest, if 2020 is the year of planning and platting, and 2021 is the year of, you know, actually getting infrastructure on the roads, utilities. Does 2022 things start to be built? They turn into real demands to us in 2023 is probably about as fast as something like this could go.
But I think to Dave's point, it's like when the housing part goes, it's not going to be bits and pieces. It's going to get slammed in.
Yeah.
It's going to get, you know, they're going to have big crews in there to hammer that stuff out to sell it all in one whack.
It's going to be built by the housing authority, and they're not going to be for sale units. These are going to be for rent.
Well, occupied.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some quick math that I just ran. So if we, let's say we pull 50 acre feet off, we drop to 600, then these units are not going to use our full ERC's worth of water if they're high density, right? A full ERC is a half an acre foot. Let's say it's 0.4, we'll drop it a hair. We could support 275 units by the end of 2024, by the end of year five. So based on some of these ideas, in 2023, starting building vertically in 2023, 300 units over the course of two building seasons. And we could maintain the buffer at 500 acre feet.
So we already have a pretty big jump from 2022 to 2023.
Yeah.
135 acre feet.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if your model already projects some of the Henry City growth out there.
Nope. That's Silver Creek Village.
That's Silver Creek Village. Okay.
Yep.
There's a pretty good jump from 23 to 24 too.
Yep, so Silver Creek Village, the way that they have the projections they gave us in 2019 was a 5% growth for the first 3 years maybe, and then it goes to a 15% growth, and then it goes back to a 5% growth. So when you see these numbers really start to ratchet up, that's those 15% growth numbers for Silver Creek Village. Really think they're going to build more than 300 units, and, you know, following through that thought of.
So, from an affordable housing standpoint, what are the county goals?
I mean, the county's The county will be looking at one, two, three-bedroom condos, basically.
If we drop them on whatever we decide for that year.
They haven't come up with numbers yet.
Why don't you bring that up?
I mean, you can look at the housing study that was completed last year, and they're short, and they continue to be short, 600-700 units. It's obviously it hasn't been planned out what it's going to look like, but you're probably looking for townhomes, twin homes,
multi-family.
But the landscaping would probably be fairly conservative in that it would be very zero scape, not a lot of watering, I guess.
Probably not a lot of watering.
But you're going to have parks and community,
Might have a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Because the average townhome would probably only use like 0.2 acres, like 60,000 gallons a year, versus a home. So we've got a little more buffer than we would think per unit.
Yeah. There's going to be some green spaces and some parks, but I mean, the idea is that this is going to be linking in to Basin Rec through the rail trail and Basin Rec's new facilities that they're going to be putting into Silver Creek. So, I mean, that's where most of the recreational park stuff is going to come from for these residents. So you're not going to be looking at a lot of that. But you are going to, you're probably going to see 500,000 square feet in commercial.
Commercial doesn't take a lot of water.
So why don't we do this? If the board is comfortable, with our recommendation of having 500 acre feet of surplus, I'll reach out to Pat and get a definitive response from the planning department on what the latest information is. And then based on that last update, we'll run the math and we'll put the remainder on the table.
Yeah, that's fair.
Scott, on the part, I think it's the half acre foot is the planning, use that for planning purposes, right? And I think that's part of our, that part of the policy.
So the half an acre foot, Tim, stemmed out of our impact fee study last year, and that was the average usage per ERC in our district.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Is that something just on a rule of thumb planning basis, or is that actually close to the number of what the actual usage is? And just answer my question.
Well, but we have to have the water rights for it. It's independent of what really gets used. We have to have the rights.
Yeah, so to answer, to elaborate, I guess, is the average usage per home is a half an acre foot. That is what, when we talk about all these growth numbers and such, right, that's the number we use to project the growth. And it's also relevant to the how many acre feet of water rights of surplus do we want to have to give us a sense of a real world sense of how many units does that really look like. I'm saying it's 1,000 units. 500 acre feet at a half an acre foot per unit is 1,000 units. If all the units we're going to build over the next 5 to 10 years are small high density units, they're going to use less water, right? So that 1,000 units turns into some greater number. The reality is it's a mixture between the big colony homes and these higher density homes. We believe as a district that our usage per customer will trend down due to the number of units these higher density units will be adding. So there's some conservative
planning in that half an acre foot per unit.
Yeah, I mean, this impact fee study, it dropped.
Yes.
It was
0.6.
0.6, right? So, you know, we've seen that trend. And that's only been in the last 6 years. It dropped.
It's so pretty low. So, but I was concerned when you said we'll put it on the table if there's...
So I guess what I'm getting at really is if we look at the chart that I've provided here, and we look at 2024 and the net balance there, which is our, you know, our back pocket, our operational surplus is 507 acre feet. It's about 500 acre feet. That's what drives the calculation to get to 650 for Summit Water. So if we learn that the growth on this new project is expected to be faster than what I have in the model.
This 700 goes up.
That 703 goes up, decreasing the amount of water available to Summit Water.
The 650 go down.
Go down.
Okay, that sounds right.
Does that sound fair?
Yes, thank you. That's good. You'll take it off the table.
I'll take it off, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, do we need a motion? Do we have any more questions?
There's no motion needed for this, correct, Dave, right?
No.
So what this will become is we'll do our final calculations, and then we'll start to work towards finalizing the contract with Weber Basin based on these numbers.
Okay, that's really nice work. I think the staff has done a really thorough job on this. It looks really good. Okay, item 7, the legal update by Dave Thomas.
Or do you want to, Scott, do you want to go through 6C?
Oh, yeah, we do need to do
oh,
that.
Oh, I missed it. I'm sorry.
So 6C is related to this concept of doing a rate study on this regional water supply. That was a concept that we talked about at the end of last year when we were working through these rate discussions. It's still my recommendation to do that. I think it's the only way to, I think, fully establish our targets with respect to rates and build the public trust and the transparency that I think we need to get through the process. Steve and Lisa and I sat down and talked about what this timeline might look like to perform the rate study. So. We've got a memo in the packet, and I'll walk through it briefly. Between now and the middle of March, we're going to be reaching out to potential consultants, obtaining quotes, and making a selection on who to use. I have already reached out to Weber Basin to find out who they've used. I think there's some perceived credibility that comes from using somebody that they've used for their wholesale rate, for their wholesale rates. Once we make our selection, the rate study would be performed in the spring between mid-March and the beginning of June. We would then present the rate study findings to the Administrative Control Board during the June meeting, at which time you would consider a recommendation to the council. And the caveat there is that we're going to be keeping you updated through the rate study process. We're not going to give you the information in June and you know, ask for an immediate decision. But the target is to be able to get in front of council in a work session at the end of June to present the findings and the recommendation. That would give us from...
Is that my phone dying?
It's you're down to 10%. That would give us from...
Go ahead.
The middle of, where am I at here? That would give us from.
You still there, Tim?
Yeah.
Okay.
That would give us from the end of June until the packets are essentially due for the August board meeting to have whatever meetings are necessary between representatives from the board and the council. To reach a meeting of the minds. Then the August meeting would be the final approval of that regional water supply rate, which would allow Lisa and Steve to be working revenue numbers to present as part of our budget process in September. Are there any questions on that? concerns?
So one idea I've had is to how to bring in the policy portion into the rates, because I think, or will the consultant basically do the math and the numbers, but then there's policy of how do we set the tiers, how do we...
Yes, as far as if there's a ramp, what that ramp looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, how do we encourage conservation, and how do we balance that out, and maybe do we want to bring the stakeholders in? And when?
I think... I guess my thought was that the state, you know, would be, we'd work with the consultants, Mountain Regional just would work with them until we would have this built in June, and then we'd have 2 months to meet with everybody. But it sounds like you're thinking, Mike, to bring folks in sooner.
It's just a question right now, because I get that they'll do the numeric portion, the numeric model.
Yes.
But then there's another step there, I think.
Okay.
Well, that could
so
be
you can
something
think about that.
Yeah. The potential people to do the rate study. Well, how do you factor in their priority on supply? How do you factor in what other people in the district pay? How do you factor in?
Exactly. Community.
And those will absolutely be questions.
Which is a community stated goal for us, is conservation through excessive pricing.
Risk factors.
risk. How do we?
Park City's price will come up once or twice at least.
Sure.
Just some ideas there. Okay.
So we'll think about that, Mike. And we'll keep. I mean, this isn't the end of the discussion. We just want to get going and give you a sense of where we're going. Okay. If there's no further discussion on that, any legal update from you, Dave?
Nope.
Yeah, no legal things, huh?
We are trying to finish the supplemental infrastructure agreement with Promontory.
Yeah.
I think all that we've left to do is we have to double check to see if we've covered all the tanks that we have or not.
Yeah, pipelines. We're going through the old agreements, the original stuff, to make sure that there wasn't anything that was lost along the way.
Yeah. I think my biggest, in my eyes, and Chris may have a different opinion, the one of the unknowns remaining, I guess, is some of these, water lines that are outside of the right-of-way corridors, we just need to make sure that all that stuff's covered. We've got all the big stuff now. It's focusing on some of the smaller alignments just to make sure we've got them covered. But that agreement, just so everybody knows, will create a parcel for our treatment plant. That parcel will ultimately be granted to us, not as an easement, but in fee. It turns over the parcel that 15B and Bisonbluff's Well is on to us. It is the refund of the property that Mountain Regional had worked towards purchasing. There are a number of other easements in there. So those are the big pieces.
Okay, thanks, Dave. So item 8, general manager comments.
Yep, so district update. I wanted to update the board on a couple items here. One is the new well is progressing. I think, so over the last week, they drilled the exploratory bore down to full depth of 500 feet. The quick report with respect to water production is they do what's called airlifting with the drill rig. Gives you a sense of what the well might produce. Those numbers, their peak flow is 192 gallons a minute. We were projecting in our models 300 gallons a minute was the target. What I've been told, but everybody's very conservative when you talk about well productions, but when you put a well down,
We're going to enlarge the hole now. You put a pump down to the bottom. It will likely produce more than this 192. I don't know what more means. My gut is that we'll probably land between 200 and 300, fairly close to what we were projecting. There was a finding. We did expect this to be in a protected aquifer, which by definition means you have at least 30 feet of clay in the upper reaches of the hole. They found between 10 and 20. What that means is on paper it would be quote unquote an unprotected aquifer, but it really has, I don't see any real impact to the district with that distinction. From a regulatory standpoint, there's no impact. We have reached out to the Division of Drinking Water and informed them of the finding, and we don't expect any issues there. From a practical standpoint, what it means is really just for me a heightened attention on the water quality of the well, which I think is prudent anyway, given its location. So, you know, we're talking about what that investigative monitoring schedule might look like, just to make sure we're staying on top of any potential contaminants from the reclamation facility next door. But at this point, we're just moving forward with the drill schedule.
What do you guys call this one?
It needs a new name. Tank well number 16.
Sort of big well.
Yeah. So by the next board meeting, this project.
About the Marty G. Memorial Well in honor of her retirement.
Yeah. Well.
By the next board meeting,
you can look forward to having a well name for you.
Yeah. That sounds good. I expect the project to be wrapped up by the next board meeting, so we'll have some real numbers for you by then. The other item I wanted to touch on was the Red Hawk project. That easement was signed and recorded in December. The water line will be finished up either late January or the first week in February, so that project will be done and behind us. And that's it for the district update. Are there any questions on that, those items? Next up, Mike had asked to just bring up and start the thought process of board member terms and March elections. So Bob and Ian are both up for reappointment in January 2021. So that just a heads up for you on that. And then we just wanted to essentially, Mike, is there anything specific you want to talk about?
Not specific, but just to get the thoughts going that if anybody would like to be the board chair, I'm open to that. I'm open to still doing it, but I've been doing it a while and I've learned a lot. I've really enjoyed it. So think about that. We could talk about more next month, and specifically just wanted to get those thoughts going.
I could take the opportunity to just review all the positions just so everybody's aware. So Mike's the chair, Bob is the vice chair, the finance committee chair is Karen, the conservation committee chair is Tim. Both Tim and Ian serve on the personnel committee. I am the district clerk, Lisa is the treasurer, and that's that kind of, those are all the positions that we have defined. Moving on from there, the last item that I had that we can cover in other is we have recently found that the rec district has adjusted their board schedule to the second Thursday of every month, which is the same day that we have our board meetings. So Marty put together a draft schedule that contemplates the third Thursday of every month. Tim, I can read that to you since you don't have that in front of you, if you want to jot these down.
And if the board wants to check calendars and get back to us, I guess, I don't think we need... What was Marty's goal on this? Did she want a firm stance on this tonight?
Well, I don't know if she needed one. I think our other option is we keep the schedule that we originally had. We would just need to meet in the room that's outside of this building.
That small room we met in once. It's not
over the summer.
Yeah, it's not nearly as comfortable as this room.
I only have one specific comment. February 20th is in the middle of President's Week, school vacation.
Oh, are they off that week?
Yeah. Right. I don't know if that matters to anybody.
I'm not out of town because summer always has a gymnastics, local gymnastics meet that week, so.
I've been kind of planning around this. I could see two or three conflicts.
Okay.
Could we go back to the other place where we used to go?
To the school?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we can look at other options for a location. Why don't we, should we run with that for now?
I mean, the current schedule will just find a new location.
Why don't we do this? Why don't I send, because Tim doesn't have this in front of him. Why don't we? You still there, Tim?
Yeah, I'm sitting here ready to take notes on when the next meeting is.
Okay, let's settle that, because we're going to lose you here in about 2%.
So February 20th worked for me. I don't know if there's other... Does it not work for you, Bob, or is that just a
point of... I'll be at it down, but I can call him.
Does anybody have any conflicts on February 20th?
Good.
Jim, February 20th, do you have a conflict?
20th works better for me because I can attend in person because on the 13th I would have had to go to
the public. Okay. Karen, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Mike?
20th is fine.
Okay, February 20th is the next meeting. And then what I'll do, Tim, I'll send you this list of dates. Does everybody want to respond with their conflicts? Mike, would you prefer to just keep these and try to find another location?
I'm neutral on that. I could move stuff around. It's far enough out, I could adjust.
Okay, so why don't I ask each board member to respond to the email with conflicts that they have, so that we're all not pouring through calendars right this moment.
Okay.
And we will make some decisions and keep everybody in the loop.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
I believe that is it. Just give me a second here and make sure. Anybody else have anything or any aware of anything else that I missed? Okay, that's all I have.
Okay, nice work. We'll stand adjourned at 7:15.
Wow.
Holy moly.
It's a record.
All right, thanks, Tim.
Did you get that, Tim?